Okay, thanks so much, guys, for putting up with this. I went to go log into my software today for this call, and it had went down for some reason. I don't know why. So we had to throw up an emergency backup plan here. I'm kind of impressed, actually, with how fast we got it together. But it's ready to go, and I understand a lot of guys are probably going to be their schedule is going to be thrown off a bit because this is 30 minutes later than we normally start. So if you have to leave, no problem. Just go ahead and split, and you can listen to the recording this later on. The only downside to doing it this way is that it's a little more difficult to ask questions. We're going to do it this way. If you are near your computer, you'll have the ability to ask questions because you'll be emailing brad@thedowofbadass.com. So email brad@thedowofbadass.com any questions you have at all, and Brad will answer those questions on the call with me. So that's what you're going to do this time. Instead of pressing star, whatever it was, star 3 or something, you're going to be just emailing directly to Brad if you have any questions about what we're talking about or anything like that. So please feel free to do that. If you're not on your computer and you can get near it, I would go do that now, just in case you do have a question that's kind of serious and you want to make sure that you can get through and ask the question. Because we are talking about a topic that's pretty ambiguous to a lot of guys, and a lot of guys are extremely excited to talk about it, and that is, of course, seduction. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it really is first. I'm going to talk about how to escalate sexual attraction a bit. I'm going to talk about some of the major reasons why seduction doesn't work, and of course, excited to take a lot of questions as well. You may hear me stop for a moment and take a little bit of notes from here now and then, because I have now that I'm using this system, I have to sort of take notes in a different place. So I have to sort of throw this together from the knowledge that I have in my head instead of using the outline that I typically do. So I may go off into topics that I don't normally go into, and I may skip over something that I get back to next week. So we're going to do our best to talk as much about what I had planned on right now. So anyway, so let's talk for a minute first about what seduction is. Since you've been on these founding member calls, if you're brand new and this is your first one, awesome, welcome. Sorry for the weirdness. This is not normally how it is. But if you have been here, then you know we've been talking about the first few stages in the map of interaction. The first stage was attraction. We went over the three major parts of attraction and how to go through each one in great detail in the first few calls for the founding members. And those stages are the introduction stage, which is where you become a blip on the radar to a woman. Like, say, she sort of knows that you exist for the first time, and she didn't know that you existed before that. Second stage is whenever you're demonstrating your high value. Keep in mind, it's demonstrating high value, not explaining high value. So you want to make sure that during that time you're using body language and banter, basically, to demonstrate that you are a very valuable person. But the most important thing is to use body language properly by using what's called negative body language and dominant body language in at the same time, sort of in conjunction with each other, to sort of create this whirlwind of attraction that you can suck a woman into. The third stage then is, or third part of seduction, or sorry, attraction. Whew, man, it's a long day apparently. The third part of attraction is qualifying. That's where she begins to chase you, and you can induce that chasing by using a few certain specific qualifiers that are proven to work, and I went over those in that call as well. So those are the first few steps or parts of the first stage, which is attraction. Then we went over the second stage, which is rapport, and there are four major parts or four major steps to rapport. The first one is light rapport. It's where you're kind of, you know, most people have conversations in light rapport. It's kind of like a light question. You're searching for something to connect on, but you don't actually make the connection yet. Then you have wide rapport, which is where you have lots of options now. They've answered back after you had your light rapport question. You have lots of options about what you want to connect on, if you want to connect on anything. And then deep rapport is where you actually make the emotional transfer from one person to another. That's where the connection actually happens. So the fourth step during that process is what's called release. Release is where you let go of the rapport topic that you had, that you sort of made originally, where you built the rapport on. You release it, you sort of bounce back to light rapport, and you go through the process again and you know, continue to do that until you have the amount of trust and love that you really want with the woman that you're talking to. So the next stage is seduction. So attraction, rapport, then seduction, then there's relationship balance after all of that, which is really crucial to know if you're going to be in a relationship with any woman at all ever. So, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. We'll get into that after a few calls here, just talking about seduction. I know that I'm going to get a lot of questions about seduction. So if you do have them, please email Brad. I understand this is not normal for you to have to email somebody for the question, but go ahead and do that, brad@thedialofbadass.com. And he will go ahead and sort of let me know if there are any questions. Hey, Brad, when you do get questions from people, will you send me a little note on Skype and let me know?
Absolutely.
That way I can know without having to, you know, without you having to interrupt or feel like you're interrupting. So cool. So if you don't have any questions about seduction as we talk, I want you to go ahead and send those out to brad@thedialofbadass.com. Okay, so what is seduction? So this is kind of a big question. It seems like a question that a lot of guys who teach seduction sort of overlook. And I think there's a very good reason for that, and that is because a lot of guys don't actually know what it really is. I'm going to give you a technical description and a technical readout for what seduction actually is. And I want you to write this down, because a lot of guys think that seduction is something really complicated or something really ethereal or, you know, something foreign, you know. And really, it's an extremely logical process for us. We can explain it very logically, though for the person being seduced, it's not a very logical process whatsoever. So as you go through rapport, what happens, and the reason why rapport is such an important part of the process and why it's even a step in the first place is for two reasons. One, it creates trust. And whenever you create trust with somebody, then they're more likely to be naked around you. That's just kind of how it is. If they don't trust you, then they're not going to be vulnerable around you. And sex is one of the most vulnerable things you can do with someone or vulnerable states you can be in. So that's one of the reasons why people will have sex and get really clingy. But there are other reasons why that happens too. And I'm going to go over sort of what happens during sex as well, during this process, during this seduction course that we're going to be going over here in the next few calls. So, but seduction, what it truly is a use, makes very good use of what happens during rapport, something that's sort of an offshoot of what happens during rapport. And that is, it takes a woman's emotional brain and starts to heighten her emotional brain. Now, there's something that a lot of guys don't talk about, and that is that we have two major operations that our brain does, right? Two major things that happen. One is a logical operation or logical thought processes, and the other are emotional operations or, of course, emotional thought process. And these two parts do not have independent resources in the brain. It isn't like you can use them both at the same time. You can't. It's sort of like a sliding scale. If you imagine that there's two bar graphs and it's showing you where your level of emotional brain heightened, like your emotional brain level and your logical brain level is. You have two bar graphs. As one goes up, the other one automatically goes down in an equal amount and at the same speed. There's never a time in which both sides of the brain can be heightened at the same time. So this is one of the reasons why we do stupid stuff whenever we're emotional, you know, because we're not making logical decisions, because we physically cannot. Chemically, we don't have the resources there, and we don't have the actual neuro response that we normally would whenever we are emotionally heightened. So this is bad for you if you get stuck in a situation where you need to make a logical decision, but good for you if you want to create a situation where you want a woman to make an emotional decision. And this is sort of all that seduction is. But seduction, unlike the other two stages, is completely under the radar. It's not something that pops up on a girl's radar. If it does pop up on her radar, then there are ways around that, but typically you'll get a lot more resistance when it does happen. To do seduction right, the girl that you're seducing will have A, no idea that it's happening to her, and B, will not want to know because it's so exciting and so fun, she won't even care. And that's really the level at which you really want to get to with seduction. So again, seduction is a heightened emotional brain and a deadened, like a deadened or a quieted logical brain. So you'll have a deficit in your logic and you'll have a spike in your emotion. Now, there's a couple things that are going to happen when you do this. One is that if you're seducing a girl and you begin to get turned on as well, which you probably will, you're going to also have the same problem that the woman's going to have, which is that you will not be able to access your logical brain very well. This is one of the reasons why guys who teach seduction are not very good at it, and they're not very successful typically, because they're trying to teach something. I mean, it makes sense. It'll make sense. You'll be able to follow it, but they're trying to teach something that you cannot recall when you need it. Almost by default, if you get into seduction, there's nothing you can really do to pull out that information, because if you do that, you're not going to be in the seductive mood anymore, and then it doesn't transfer over to her. So you're kind of climbing uphill for this thing if you do that. And that's not good, obviously. You want to be able to tap into this energy and use your emotional brain to seduce instead of your logical brain. Now, this is something I don't talk about very often. And one of the reasons why I didn't talk about it in the Tao of Badass is because I think it's kind of creepy to teach someone how to seduce through a book. Because not that it's just creepy, but also very, 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 very difficult to do. Because there's too many things that you can take the wrong way, too many things that you can misunderstand. And if you do that, you can get in a lot of trouble and you can basically be worse off than you were before you started. Brad, have you ever run into any guys who have studied seduction kind of full-time, seduction seducer guys?
Seduction full-time guys? I don't think so.
You never run into one before?
Usually the guys I talk to are more focused on like the attraction stuff, you know, like how many numbers can you get, how many girls can you go up to, say funny things to you.
Right. So let me tell you the difference between someone focused on attraction and someone focused on seduction or rapport for that matter. The person that whenever you have a focus in your life, something that you feel like you need the most, we all tend to obsess over it, whatever it is. If seduction is that thing that you think you need the most more than anything, then what tends to happen, this is a tendency, it doesn't always happen, but what tends to happen is that you become solely focused on that one topic and your life begins to revolve around the concepts in that level. So whenever I was doing Kung Fu, this is sort of something that I realized. I realized, and this is really strange by the way, I did Kung Fu for a number of years, about 6 years, and for a while I was doing it about 8 hours a day. And about five or six days a week. And during that time, I realized that there was a lot of weirdness in the Kung Fu space. There's a lot of like really strange guys studying Kung Fu. And I started to see patterns, which is what I do best, of course. I started to see patterns in these different guys. So I'd see certain guys who were studying certain styles would all act the same way. And sometimes they didn't even know each other. And so I start talking to some of my friends about this who are training with me, and apparently it's a really common thing in Kung Fu because we have something called animal styles in Kung Fu. And animal styles are whenever you fight with a certain style of an animal, so like monkey style or crane style or tiger style, you know, these different styles, animal styles. Now, the interesting thing about what happens is if you do it long enough, you have to sort of imagine that you are this animal, and you begin to take on traits that you believe this animal would have, and your actual personality. So it's a tendency amongst Kung Fu artists so that eagle claw stylists who do eagle claw training are all pompous assholes, like almost across the board. And they weren't like that when they started out. Guys who studied snake almost always backstab their friends or lie. Guys who study monkey are really playful and can almost never be serious. And it sort of goes down the line. So whenever I chose my animal style, I kept that in mind. And I also did the same thing when I chose my expertise when it came to the sort of different stages in the map of interaction. I knew that if I identified as a master of seduction, that my life would have to be like that. It'd have to be like I have to always be in that mode. And there are good things and bad things whenever you do that. So I know guys who are only seduction is the only thing they do. I know guys who they only do attraction. And I know guys who only do rapport. If you only do one of those three, then you're going to fail always because you can't progress. If you start with seduction and you start out with seduction, there are ways that you can push forward a little bit through the interaction. But most guys who try to just go out and do seduction solely by themselves or by itself are not successful with women. But there are some guys who are sort of like have superpowers in what they do. They're just sort of built to do certain stages. Two people I'm going to sort of call up and I'm going to not call up on the phone, but call out here, and I'm going to make an example out of these two guys. I had two friends. One was sort of a master of seduction, and one of the best I've ever seen. And the other was a master of attraction, and one of the best I've ever seen at that. Now, let me tell you what would happen here. The two of them walk into a bar at the same time. The guy who's the master of attraction, every girl would immediately look at him. Every girl would walk up and talk to him. Every girl would laugh, joke around, be interested in him, flirt with him, all that stuff that happens during the attraction phase, right? The guy who was the master of seduction would sit back and wait and wait and wait and then sneak up, basically, to a group, talk to one girl, whisper in her ear, and just take her away and start making out with her. Now, there were a lot of very interesting things I learned from this guy who was the master of seduction. One is that I don't want to be a master of seduction, but the other thing is that he had some interesting techniques that I learned to mimic whenever I was going out to seduce women or when I got in the stage of seduction. He also learned some ways to sort of bend the rules or sort of dodge bullets, like in the Matrix here, if we're going to talk about seeing the Matrix. He learned some interesting bullet dodging techniques that took me from being pretty good or okay to really being completely badass at this. And it's sort of, those are the things that are really, really impressive. But what I found is that you can't really do the impressive things unless you give up the integrity that you have to give up in order to be the master of seduction, right? A master of seduction will lie. Like, that guy lied a lot to women in order to get them in bed. And because of that, he didn't have any long-lasting relationships whatsoever, but also his friendships all ended because no one trusted him, you know? Because for a master of seduction, it's about getting in the bedroom and getting laid. It's not about anything else. So I saw him run into a lot of problems with women. I saw him, he had a lot of very legal issues, as you might imagine. But on top of that, besides the legal issues, he had women, he left a trail of angry, angry, revenge-seeking women in his path who were really, really upset with him because he had lied to all of them about who he was, about what he was interested in, about what he wanted. And he'd get them in bed and then he would talk crap, you know, talk shit about them basically behind their backs, you know, whenever they weren't around. And I just thought that was really crappy. I don't really subscribe to that, so it was something that I decided not to do. So whenever you do decide to tap into this part, this sort of seduction stuff, remember that if you tap into it fully, you'll get the benefits of doing that. You'll be able to explore, like, bending rules and dodging bullets, so to speak. But if you do that, you also succumb to the negative components of that as well, which is a pretty lonely life. And I've tried out all these different things to make sure that, you know, I didn't want to do them. So, and I ended up actually identifying the most with rapport, because with rapport, I could have friends, I could make deep, deep, deep emotional connections. I could have lots of girlfriends at the same time. It didn't matter because it was all rapport. And then it was also right in the middle. So all I had to do was a little bit of work and attraction. I could stay in rapport for a while and then it would automatically go to seduction. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I transitioned into seduction. And I want to talk a little bit about escalation and a couple other things too for you guys on this call here. So first, let me talk about escalation, because that's probably one of the biggest topics that comes up when we start talking about seduction. Escalation is a concept that you can take a woman from 0 to 60 by taking her step by step through the seduction process. Now, the seduction process, as it turns out, doesn't actually have a step by step system. The reason why it doesn't is because it's very emotional, and if there is a step by step system, you can't be in that state to recall it. That's the only problem, you know? So it kind of hides its own tracks as that's sort of like a function of seduction in the first place. But there are things you can do to set yourself up for the seduction so that when you get into the later phases of rapport and the rapport sort of cycles over time, you're able to automatically transition straight into the seduction stage. And that is by using physical escalation. Now, there are a few games I'm going to tell you now, and these are tools. But you also have to have, not just tools, but you have to have skills as well. I think I may have used this analogy before, just kind of talking about a couple other things as well. But imagine this. Imagine that you are a carpenter, or you want to learn to be a carpenter. And so just imagine you're not a carpenter, which is probably not very hard to imagine for most people. And you want to learn how to be a carpenter. So what do most people do? They go, well, I need a hammer. That's the first thing I need, right? I need a hammer, and I need you to give me the hammer, or I need to buy the hammer. What do I do to get this hammer, right? So then they get the hammer, and they look at the hammer, and they go, okay, now I can build a house. And then what happens? They go, okay, well, how do I use this thing, right? That's the immediate next step. It's what do I need? Let me get it. Okay, now how do I use it, right? So this is called tools and skills. Tools are the things that are going to help you, that you're going to use to sort of get the result you want. The skills are going to give you the ability to use those tools. And just like any other set of tools, certain people, when you study and you have great skills, you can outperform anybody else, even with a weak tool. So imagine this. Think about it this way. Paint at the store is probably costs about what, like $15 for like a set of paint to paint your, to do a painting, to paint art on a canvas. But all that a Rembrandt is paint and canvas. That's all that it is. Technically, it's worth about, $25 for the materials. Right. But it's a priceless work of art. The reason why is because he has skills that are so greatly beyond most people that he's able to, when he gets these normal tools in his hands, he's able to paint. But even Rembrandt can't paint without a paintbrush. That's just kind of how it is. The only person I know that can paint without a paintbrush is Pollock. He just does splatter shit everywhere. But not really, though. Of course, he uses paintbrushes and everything.
But you don't want to be splattering shit everywhere. That's not the method we can do.
Well, it's not very fun. There's no finesse in it, and that's the problem. Some guys do that, though. They get the tools, or they don't have the tools. They just have the skills, and they throw shit everywhere, And that's okay. I understand that. I think that's much better than having a tool and painting something really crappy and then pretending like you're a Rembrandt. And that's what most guys do. Most guys will go, oh, no, I got the tools. I know what to do. And then they don't have the skills to do anything at all, so they can't do it. So think about it this way. I'm going to give you some tools for escalation, but think about these tools. Use them, but get good at using them. Practice. Really use this a lot. I'm going to give you a couple things. One is that, and I have talked about this a lot with you, Brad, actually, about how I don't teach neurolinguistic programming very often, or to anybody, really. I studied it a lot, and I don't even tell anybody that I've studied it. But the reason why it is, the reason why I keep it sort of under my hat usually, is because it's extremely, extremely powerful, and it can be used for evil, which is not good. So I typically didn't, and I don't want to attract guys who are interested in using shit like that for evil. So I didn't teach it forever. In the future, I may come out with an NLP product that is all about induction seduction, basically. Basically seducing a woman almost hypnotically when you talk to her. But I'll have a shitload of disclaimers around it whenever I do it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about NLP, though, and I'm going to give you a couple little tools on this call that I think are pretty good and useful that I've used in the past that I know work. And I want you to write them down and remember them and try them out as well. So the first thing is I'm going to give you an escalation tool. This is one of my favorite escalation tools because it gives you a reason to do a lot of stuff. It gives you a reason to get close. It gives you a reason to look at her in the eyes. But more importantly, it gives you a reason to touch her in different ways. And this is very, very important. You cannot bridge the gap from rapport to seduction if you do not touch. Bottom line, you won't be able to do it. Even if you're talking and you have the most amazing seductive voice ever, at some point you're going to have to touch this chick. It's just going to happen. And if you wait too long to do it, when you do touch her, it's going to wake her up anyway. That's just kind of how it is. So you want to get her comfortable with your touch all the way through the entire map of interaction. So you'll start out in attraction. You're going to be touching then. You'll be touching through rapport. And then as you get to the tail end of rapport, which I'll talk about transitioning from rapport into seduction in a bit, you're going to be touching in a different kind of way. If you haven't sort of tapped into the different touch processes, I believe we go over that in pretty good detail in the 5-week body language mastery course. If anybody does not have that course, I believe it's like a $500-something course. If you want it, because you guys are founding members, email brad@thedowofbadass.com and Brad, I'll let you give it to anybody who emails you, okay?
So absolutely.
It's an expensive course, but if you don't have it already, we'll hook you up because you're founding members, and we hook founding members up with awesome shit. So that's kind of what we do. So check that out. There's going to be a section in there about touch. That touch section will explain in pretty good detail what When to touch a girl, how to touch her, and all that stuff as well. So keep that in mind. But I'm not going to go into that right now because we're going to have other founding member calls just on touch. Instead, I'm going to give you a tool that you can use and a game you can play with a girl where it will automatically sort of boost this sexual escalation. Now, keep in mind, you're not walking up to a girl and saying what I'm about to say to you. You don't do that. That's jumping straight to seduction. You do not want to do that. Instead, you're going to go through attraction, then rapport, and the tail end of rapport, you're going to start to use these techniques to jump straight into seduction. And it'll be like butter. You won't even be able to tell at all that that there's anything happening. There's any kind of transition whatsoever. So the first one is the 1 through 10 game. That's what it's called. 1 through 10 touch game is what it's really called. But let's just call it the 1 through 10 game. 1 through 10 game is one of my favorite games to play. And what it does is it makes use of a really powerful NLP technique called reframing. And you can reframe anything. You can reframe someone's personality. You can say, imagine that you are a soldier and you're fighting a war and you're hiding in the trenches and all your friends are dead and you're the last one behind enemy lines and you have to get back over, right? All right, so that's a reframe. It's like, oh my God, well, if I imagine that, I'm going to do stuff differently than I would if I was just sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, right? So what you want to do is you want to reframe, instead of reframing your personality, which is actually another seduction technique, what is an NLP technique, and I'm not going to get into that right now. You're going to reframe touch for her. So you're going to reframe how good something feels physically. And the way that you do this is really awesome. It's basically a system of agreement or questions and then agreements. So you take it to one level and then she agrees, and then you take it to the next level and she agrees again. So you constantly get this agreement from her. And I'll tell you what that means. And I'll tell you when I teach this technique, I'll tell you, you'll understand sort of a little bit more about what I mean when I say that. So when you reframe touch, imagine right now that I were to say, I'll ask you, Brad. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
What could be the best feeling you could have right now, physically?
Relaxing in a hot tub.
Relaxing in a hot tub. Okay. Could that be better than getting really good head?
No.
Okay, well then getting really good head is probably better than that, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so this is interesting. So if I asked you to, if I said, okay, well, let's talk about this for a second. Let's imagine that you're getting really good head, right? Don't get too aroused, by the way. imagine you're getting really good head. Where would you, I mean, it's the best head you've ever gotten in your life. On a 1 to 10 scale, how good does that feel? 10 being perfectly amazing, the best thing ever, and then 1 being terrible, not very good at all.
10.
Okay. So this is very interesting. If I asked you a minute ago about how good it would feel to be in a hot tub, what do you think you would have said?
Probably would have said 10.
Probably 10. But now if I ask you, what are you going to tell me?
6.
6. Because you're imagining that in relation to what I just said, right? So I'm doing it backwards right now for a reason, by the way. I don't want to do it forward with you because that'll be a little weird. So I'd rather get you less excited every time. So what you're doing here is I'm reframing what you're feeling. So now, a minute ago, a hot tub was the best thing ever for you. You're really imagining it was like really, really awesome. But now a hot tub's kind of a disappointment, right? Mm-hmm. You can do the same thing with touch. So I'll tell you how that works. When you're sort of in rapport with a girl, you're talking to her, and you're really, things are starting to get sexual, try using this 1 through 10 touch technique or 1 through 10 technique. And what I do is I would say, let me ask you a question. And then I'd take her hand, right? And I would take my finger and I would rub it on her palm, like very, very softly on her palm, around in circles. And I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being orgasmic and 1 being, kind of bad, like feeling terrible. What would you say this feels like? On a scale of 1 to 10, what does it feel like to you? Right? And she's going to be feeling it, and what she's doing right now is she's focusing on this sensation, really, really focusing all of her attention on your sensation right now. And she's trying to rate it. She's probably going to say something like an 8, right? Usually women go 7, 8, like that, So then you go, okay, that's interesting. All right. So I'm going to ask you another question then. On a scale of 1 to 10, how does this feel? And then I pull her arm forward a little bit, and I do the same thing in the hinge of her elbow, on the inside of her elbow, right? So that's like the same thing with my fingers, kind of a, rolling around in circles with my finger very, very lightly on the inside of her elbow. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are more nerves in the inside of her elbow than there are in the palm of her hand. So knowing that, as you go up, it's very likely that she's going to say 9 or 10 right here, right? Now, keep in mind that you have not done anything yet except touch her palm with your finger and then touch the inside of her elbow with your finger. That's it, right? Now, there are much more sensitive spots in her body than her elbow, inside of her elbow, including, of course, her clit is one of the, you know, one of her most sensitive spots, probably the most sensitive spot in her entire body, right? And so you're sort of framing what a 1 through 10 is. 10 is orgasmic. As she usually will go up, she'll say 9 because this feels better, right? And you go, okay, it's interesting, right? You can stop there if you want to, but I recommend you kind of push it and go a little further because you can have a lot of fun doing this. So then you say, all right, one more time. And you say, how about this? On a scale of 1 to 10, how does this feel? And then you reach up behind her head. So you put your hand flat on the back of her head, palm on the back of her head, and then you gently pull her hair at the roots, pull her hair back so her head tilts up, right? Now, this is very, very, very powerful. You pull up, you reach, you grip. You don't grip too hard, but you grip right at the top. And sometimes, by the way, women will freak out when you do this because they have weaves in or extensions or something. If that's the case, then you'll get a lot of resistance here. I've had a girl tell me she was going to punch me before because she had a weave in. And I didn't know it. it was a black chick. It was really funny. I didn't even think about that at all because I just don't think about hair or doing hair in any kind of way because I'm not a hairdresser and or a woman. So as far as you know, I'm not a woman. But so you reach up and you grab the hair in the back of her head, right? Sort of probably about 3 inches up from where her head meets her neck, right? 3 inches up from the top of her neck, or maybe 2 inches actually. You grab there and you pull down very slowly so that her head tilts back. And when her head tilts back, her mouth will automatically open. Now, this is really interesting. This is a sexual trigger that has been hardwired into our species. It's a complete submissive position or move, a complete submissive trait for people. Now, if you think about this, think about whenever a cat, like a mother cat, picks up a baby, they grab them by the scruff of their neck, right in that exact spot. Same thing with puppies, you know? The same thing happens. Mm-hmm. They pull them up from that spot, that exact spot in their neck. And the reason why they do this is because this is a trigger to turn off a person's dominant traits or an animal's dominant traits. So when you get back there and you pull like that, it'll automatically click on that visceral, animalistic instinct in the woman and make her sort of turn into a sort of a submissive, excitingly submissive, really, girl. And that's what you need in order to transition into seduction properly, because this is where you become a man, right? This is when you show the man part of your personality. So there are other ways you can get into pulling this, like pulling your hair like this. One of the ways, and also a lot of women actually like this during sex, and so when you do it, she's gonna feel extremely turned on. Now, the point of doing this is not to get her to keep going up and say, like, oh, this is an 11, you know? That's not the point. The point is that you just got her turned on. That's the point. And when she gets turned on like that, all you have to do is back off and watch her want more. Anticipation is something that is really, really, really important when it comes to seduction. And I'll go into anticipation a little bit more later on and how you can increase the anticipation, things like that. So we'll go now into how to end that, really, for that sort of 1 through 10 touch game. You can end up with pulling hair. You can end up with running your fingers along her neck as well, sort of the nape of her neck, which is the sort of side, the front side of her neck. There's a band of muscle right there on the side of her neck. And if you run very lightly across there, she'll also have more nerves there than she does on the inside of her elbow. So she'll automatically think that that's a higher number. Now, whenever you pull her hair, though, like this, and you get that aggression out in that sexuality, immediately she's going to be associating that you touched her palm and that was an 8. Imagine what will happen if you're fingering her or you're fucking her. And that's really what she's going to be thinking. And at this point, she'll be super turned on because of it, right? This is a huge sort of leap from rapport into seduction. And you leap pretty far into seduction when you do this. It can be so powerful that that women become very aggressive at times. So you got to be careful if you don't want a woman to jump your bones. Then I wouldn't suggest you do this because it will happen. Also, though, if you can do this and then be in a place where she cannot have sex with you immediately or back off and do not continue. We'll talk about anticipation, like I said, in a bit. Then when you get her to the bedroom, she'll be – this is all foreplay, you know. She'll be so turned on that she'll be ready to go. You won't have to do anything like exciting, or you won't be jumping off the top ropes or like doing the like tornado move with your tongue or anything like that. You don't have to do any of that stuff. She'll be super turned on by the time you get to the bedroom. It won't matter. Then all that stuff after that is just you guys having fun. That's really what you want to do. So that's an escalation technique. There's another escalation technique that's a little bit softer if you want to try this one. This one's not so aggressive and not so straightforward. And it is, it has to do with, rather, playing a game. Again, not a 1 through 10 type game where it's obvious here, but less of a game like that, more of a game like a playful, fun, lighthearted kid-like game. And that is playing thumb war. Playing thumb war during late rapport can be seductive. If it's too playful, you'll bounce back to attraction. And that a woman will consider that punishment. So it has to be sexual in a way. Like, you have to really, really be strong with – you don't lose at thumb war, by the way. You know, you don't want to do this. If you lose at thumb war, it's kind of like – it's a really pussy thing to do. So if you're going to do it, do whatever you got to do to win. If you have to, like, sneak attack with your finger, go ahead and do it, you know. And just be like, nope, I won, you know. If you don't know how to cheat, then you don't know how to play, you know. So you want to make sure you – if you do play, have a good time, do that. But what you're doing is you're starting to, again – show a little bit of dominance over the girl that you're talking to. Now, again, this is in seduction. This is not as soon as you walk up. If you walk up to a girl and you start to play thumb war with her, it can be very playful and silly, and you can cross a lot of physical barriers, but it doesn't really work very often. And the reason why it doesn't work very often is because you're jumping. It can be considered jumping straight to seduction, especially with the amount of time that you're touching her hand in the first place. Though I have done this before, and I have had it work. It's just not as consistent as some of the other things that you might want to do. So, that being said, let's move on to the next thing I want to talk about here. Escalation, besides physical escalation, you're also going to have vocal escalation. And there are two different parts of your voice, and that's really one of the things that I want to talk about right now, is how to tap into your seduction voice. So, and I think I've talked about this a little bit in some of the other founding member calls, just because it came up in a question, I think. And I'll give you an example, because this is one thing I actually can explain and give you an example of over audio, because it's awesome. So there are two parts of your voice. One is sort of speaking from your throat. This is my attraction voice. This is my default voice. If I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm going to be using this voice because it disarms them. It's not powerful. It's not aggressive, it's not dominant, it's just very easy to accept and understand and easy to listen to. Now, if I were to use this voice in seduction, it wouldn't work. You have to tap into another voice that you have, and that voice is called your seduction voice. So your seduction voice is speaking from your diaphragm. I'll give you an example of that right now. So this is my seduction voice. Now, I'm not going to slow down my speech in any kind of way, and I'm not going to stop enunciating. Either I'm going to give you different tones that I'm going to be going through, but as you can hear, my voice is coming from a lower part of my stomach, a lower part of my chest, and it's actually making a much stronger impact on you as you hear the words right now. So as you hear me speak, it's almost as if I'm speaking to your subconscious mind. It's almost as if I'm speaking to you in a hypnotic way, and the reason why is because I am speaking to you in a hypnotic way. It can almost be like I'm inside of your head. And whenever you speak to a woman like this, with this voice, she'll automatically go into a trance. And she'll feel as if the things that you say are things that she is thinking. And this is the power of the seductive voice and the power of neurolinguistic programming. You can tap into a woman's subconscious mind and drop things in there, almost like Inception, if you've seen that movie. You take an idea like a threesome or sex or anything, you know, making out, and you can drop that into your subconscious mind and she'll begin to want it. The only problem with using this voice is that you're completely controlling the interaction at this point. So you are not relaxing. You're not sitting back, having a good time. You are in control. You're being powerful and you're being a man. Brad, can you hear the difference in my voice?
Yes.
Okay. If you have not used this voice when talking to a woman, you are not seducing properly. Whenever you get to the point of seduction, it's important that you know how to talk like this. Now, there are patterns as well that women that will actually arouse women as well. So I'm talking, if I'm talking in a certain pattern and I say certain words and I pause in certain words, it can become extremely, extremely seductive. So for example, if I were to say, play the 1 through 10 touch game, which apparently is impossible for me to say without without screwing it up. The 1 through 10 touch game. If I'm playing that with a girl and I'm using my attraction voice like this, then it, you know, it's like, oh, you're playing the game, it's fine. But if I'm using my seduction voice and I say, I'm going to ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being orgasmic and 1 being terrible feeling, I want you to tell me how this feels. That's it, right? So as I pause before I say orgasmic, that is where most of the power comes from, because that's called a pregnant pause. A pregnant pause is a pause you make that causes anticipation. In this case, a pause that causes sexual anticipation. And that's exactly what you want. You want to create a lot of sexual anticipation with the person that you're with. So I'm going to talk a little bit about sex. Does anyone here not know what sex is? I need to sex anybody? No, I'm kidding. Sex is something that grown-ups do. So sex, obviously a very, very important part of seduction. It's not the only part of seduction, obviously, and it's not the most important part of seduction, in my opinion, but it is probably one of the most fun parts of seduction, and it's very fulfilling when you get to consummate all of this, and you get to see all this come to a peak, and you get to really tap into some of the sexual desires that a woman has. Now, it's funny, because as soon as I start using my seduction voice, I immediately start using something else that I didn't talk about yet, but I will talk about in a minute. I'll write this down, and that is innuendo. Innuendo during the seduction phase is very, very powerful, only if you're using your seduction voice. Using your attraction voice and dropping innuendo does not work. It's like a silly, jokey kind of thing to do, right? But if I use words like penetrate, like pound, like tap, like I just said tap a minute ago, spread, splay, what's another, wet. I don't usually use the word moist very often because people get weirded out by that word. It's a weird word, moist. But anything like that that is that would sort of assume sexual association. At this point, if you're using your seduction voice, she will automatically think in a way that is sexual around those words. So I'll talk about innuendo now for a minute. Let's imagine, I'll go ahead and say it now. I'll say a sentence, right? I'll say a perfectly harmless sentence in a perfectly harmless way, and I want you to listen to it and tell me if it feels like it's sexual in any kind of way. So I think that what we need to do here is we need to penetrate through to your subconscious mind and really access the full spread of what's in there so that we can, in a way, sort of enter that door and just and explore a bit, right? So that's not really sexual. I mean, that's sort of like, okay, well, that's a fine sentence. That's not like you're not going to think anything strange about that, right? And if I said that to you in the stage of attraction, that would be a good way to say it because it wouldn't be causing any kind of weird rifts in the way that you're thinking. Now let's imagine I say something. I'm going to try to use the same thing, but I may forget a couple words, but that's okay. And I'll say it with my seduction voice. What we really need to do is we need to penetrate your subconscious and get inside and see the whole spread of what's in there. And when we do that, we can then tap into and enter the door and explore what you have to offer. So these are like really sexual now all of a sudden, right? I added a couple and I forgot a couple, but whatever, you get the idea. So having these words on hand that are innuendo, but are super under the radar innuendo, can cause automatic sexual arousal in a woman that you're talking to. This is extremely powerful. This is sort of the extent of the NLP that I'm going to cover in this seduction process. If you do get the, how about this? Let me just say this. And the guys who are super ambitious will go figure this out. In order to study NLP, I watched one man. I studied lots of guys. I studied Richard Bandler and a lot of other guys too to learn NLP. The guy that I learned the most from, I will tell, I rarely ever reveal this. And when guys do hear about it, they typically don't run out and buy anything that he has to offer and study him. But if you are ambitious, you might do that. And his name is Darren Brown. Darren Brown is a performance artist, basically, and sort of an illusionist in a lot of ways. And he plays a lot of mind games on people. And he's from England. And he had a lot of TV series where he did a lot of interesting stuff, you know, like he would erase people's memories, things like that. Whenever I started studying what he does, I was able to do a lot of the stuff that he did, meaning that I could do pattern interrupts with women that would put them in trances, basically, while I was talking to them. And this was very, very powerful, but at the same time, very, very scary to give to somebody who isn't responsible. So I didn't teach anybody how to do it. But if you do want to do it, you do want to study that, I recommend watching some Darren Brown. D-E-R-R-E-N? I think it is. B-R-O-W-N. I think, let me just do a quick search for D-E-R-E-N Brown, just to make sure I got the spelling right. Yeah, D-E-R-R-E-N B-R-O-W-N. So if you can study some Darren Brown stuff, just watch some of his videos. He's a master of subliminal messaging. And that's sort of what I'm using here, subliminal messaging. And it will cause women to actually get turned on. And that's really, really, really powerful. So let me get back over here. So let's talk about the next thing. The next thing is oxytocin. Oxytocin is something that I typically hadn't talked about very often, but now that we're talking about seduction, I can sort of bring it up. During sex and during orgasm, specifically for a woman, there's a chemical that's released called oxytocin in her brain. Oxytocin is the love chemical. If you have not gone into rapport and you make her have an orgasm, she will begin to have really strange, unrealistic feelings about you. And this is because the oxytocin will take the place of trust. Now, if you can create oxytocin in a woman's brain without building any trust or doing any rapport, then most guys would go, well, why can't I just do that and skip the rapport phase altogether, just make her come, and that should be fine, right? But only problem is that whenever oxytocin is released, there's nothing for it to anchor to, meaning that she has nothing to back it up logically. So as soon as the oxytocin wears off, she'll begin to feel like she's been tricked, she's been lied to, that she can't trust herself around you, she needs to leave, and that you're a bad person. And this can be really, really scary. It can drive women crazy, and it can drive you crazy too if you have a lot of women like this in your life. So instead of doing that, whenever she comes down from oxytocin and she has that feeling of love, because oxytocin is the love chemical, it's what creates love. So if she comes down from that feeling of love and there's rapport there to base it on, then she'll go, oh, well, this guy, I can trust him. That's probably why I love him. And there won't be a second thought in her mind. But if she comes down from oxytocin and she doesn't have any of that rapport there to tap into, then she will not be able to withhold that desire to leave, like the desire to skip out and to say bad things about you and to blame you for stuff. And the reason why is because she has to either accept that she is that was a very slutty thing to do, or she's a slut, right? Which, of course, we think is awesome, but women typically don't think that's very awesome. Or that you tricked her and lied. And so she's going to probably choose option B because it's easier. Now, whenever you get into the rapport phase and you're transitioning into the seduction phase, if you start to talk with your seduction voice, if you start to touch with your seduction kinesthetics or seduction touch, and if you start to use innuendo, and sort of bring out that manly part of you, then you will begin to transition into seduction automatically. And that's really how you want to transition. So that sort of, just to come back to that, your voice has to change, your touch has to change. And then also, on top of all this, you're also going to want, you're going to be, well, let's say your voice, let's say your subjects, your topic of conversation is going to change. So your vocal patterns and your vocal verbal content is going to change. And then the final thing that will change during the seduction phase is going to be your eye contact changes. So your eye contact is going to be, sometimes it'll be extremely, extremely powerful and intimidating. And that's what you want during the stage of seduction. So most guys will look at women's bodies instead of at their eyes. Women typically are not seduced in their bodies. They're seduced in their eyes. That's what happens. You have to be able to do all of these things while making solid, uninterrupted eye contact with the girl. And you're also going to be doing something that allows you to frame the interaction so that no matter what happens around you, you are constantly focused on her. But I'm not going to go into that right now because that's a really difficult thing to teach over the phone in this call. It'll take like, we can do the whole entire next call on framing for to keep a woman in your zone, sort of to keep her from dropping what's called dropping state. But I'll sort of talk a little bit about it right now so that you get an idea of what it is, and then we'll go into detail in the next call. So whenever a woman is, when her seduction brain or her emotional brain gets heightened and she's being sexually turned on, you're going to see a lot of really strange responses from her. One of those things is that she will begin to do what's called dropping state. She'll try to snap herself out of a state that she's in, the mental state she's in. There are several reasons why women do this, but the major reason is because she believes that what she's doing requires some logical processes, and she doesn't have them to access, right? So she's going to try to wake herself up. She's not really sure if what she's doing is right or wrong, and she's not really sure if you're the kind of guy who can lead her in that direction without her really trusting you. I used to love getting women to this place and then watching them try to back out, but they couldn't. That was something that I really liked to watch a lot. It was just something that it was really empowering for me. It's kind of I'm not sure if it's an ego thing. I'm sure it was an ego thing. but it was very, very fun. I liked it a whole lot. So I would get women to the point where they were extremely aroused and sexually, very, very sexually turned on, and escalate them to the point where they're just really anticipating everything. And then back off and watch them kind of scramble. And I used to love doing that a whole lot. And it's just a very empowering thing to be able to do. So, but most of the time, that's a very, very advanced thing to do. Most of the time, though, you're not going to want her to drop state. You're going to want her to stay in that zone. And whenever you do that, in order to keep her from dropping state, what you have to do is you have to create what's called an us bubble. And that us bubble is the two of you in a bubble, in a figurative bubble, obviously, and it is going to only hold your conversation. If there's anyone else at all that comes up anywhere, you're going to completely ignore them. And this is very, very powerful. So I know I talked a little about this in one of the past conversations that we had, and I've had a few guys sort of laugh about this. It's pretty funny. But I've had guys, while I was in seduction, walk up and stand right next to my head and say they're going to kick my ass because they like the girl that I was talking to, or, you know, they'd be lying about her. It's like, say, oh, it's my girlfriend stuff. And I'd be like, is this your boyfriend? She'd say, no, you know? And they just did whatever they could to get me off so that they could basically get laid. But the truth is that no woman's going to meet a cooler guy than you guys. She's just not. She's not going to meet a guy who studies like this unless you go out with another, you know, another DAO member, and then maybe you meet him, but you're her best option, dude. And that's just the case. That's just the point, right? That's how it is. So if another guy wants this chick, you are really doing her a disservice by backing down, by not really going for it, you know, by not really taking the reins and making it happen, because you are her best option. You are the coolest guy she's ever going to meet, and one of those powerful guys she's ever going to meet. And you are one of the most responsible guys who is able to use these things and not, you know, leave a trail of, like I said, the trail of the dead kind of behind you, where, you know, women are angry. So, what I want you to go into, what I'm going to go into now, I'm not going to go into the US bubble and how to do that yet. We'll go into that in a future conversation, a future founding member call. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what are called red zone responses. And then, Brad, if you have any questions, I'd love to hear those. If anyone has any questions about what we talked about so far, please email brad@thedaoofbadass.com. Otherwise, at the end of this red zone response process here, where I'm going to the red zone responses and how to avoid them, or how to keep them happening, or whether or not you should plow through them. At the end of this, I will be done. So if you do have any questions, please get a hold of Brad right now, brad@thedaoofbadass.com. And even if you just want to say, I have a question, and then send it to Brad, and then send another email with a question in it, just so we know, just in case it takes you a little while to write your email. So if you do that, I'll get to you, and I will be able to talk to you and answer your question. If not, then you'll be SOL until the next call, which will be next week. So let's talk a little bit about what are called red zone responses. Brad, are you familiar with red zone responses very much?
Yes, but okay. I think some explanation would be awesome.
Okay, cool. So, the red zone responses are triggers that women have when their emotional brains get too high and their logical brains get too low. There's sort of a zone. It's called a red zone, of course. And in this red zone, if her logical brain drops below this red zone, meaning that she's less logical than she is emotional, and it's past this one spot, all women have a point where they will hit a trigger, and you'll hit what's called a red zone response. She'll start to resist everything that you do. All of a sudden, she'll be like, "I don't want to do this. I don't know you. I don't really want to talk to you, go away." Like, she'll start to reject you and later on in the interaction. And the reason why this happens is because we all have red zone responses. These are things that tell us, hey, look, right now your emotional brain is so heightened that if you continue, you're going to do something that could potentially put you in harm's way, maybe kill you, who knows, you know? And so we have these red zone responses that trigger us and snap us out of our emotional state. And it can be a serious chemical change when this happens. Now, if anyone on this call or listening right now to my voice has ever been with a girl and everything was going great, she's really fun with you, she liked you a lot, you know, everything's going great, you're making out with her, and then you go back to your place or her place and you go to go in her pants and she says no. No, I don't want, no, don't. She pushes your hand away, right? Now, this is a red zone response. This means that there is something that was missing in your interaction that did not make her feel like she could trust you. And so because she didn't feel like she could trust you, she's resisting now. She's trying to stop you from doing this. Now, a lot of guys that I've talked to that teach this, they teach something I believe is completely ass backwards here. They teach to plow through it using really shady techniques, like shutting her out, making her like think that she's all alone by using negative triggers, things like this that are really, really psychologically damaging to a woman. And I think that they're really weak and pathetic. So I don't suggest you use that. When I first heard about those, though, I didn't know there was another option. I did it, and then I was like, this is terrible. So I would never suggest doing that ever. So instead, what causes a red zone and how do you keep it from happening in the first place? And if you do find yourself in a little bit of a red zone, what do you do, right? So what causes a red zone is lack of true rapport. Guys who are afraid of rapport, who don't like to go into rapport, see a lot of red zone responses. These guys may get girls back to their places, but these guys get laid fewer than any other guy I know. Because the reason why is because they need a specific kind of girl who doesn't care about herself. She's sort of not very self-respecting girl. And the reason why is because if she's self-respecting, then she'll have a red zone response that will sort of snap her out and say, hey, look, this isn't good. You could be putting yourself in harm's way. If she doesn't respect herself, then she won't care and then she'll sort of let it happen and it won't matter, right? And that's not very good. So instead, to keep the red zone responses from happening and hitting these what are called red zone triggers, you have to make sure that you go into deep rapport. Now, this is something that a lot of guys try to shy away from, but you have to go into deep rapport, and there is a deep rapport formula in the Tao of Badass, so read it, know it, try it, practice it. Our whole entire last few calls in the Founding Members Club were all about deep rapport, so if you want to go back and listen to those, you can, and I suggest that you do. If you don't know everything about deep rapport, then you definitely need to go back and listen to those, and you'll hear me actually go through the process step by step and sort of let you understand deep rapport. You have to be able to do this. You have to be able to go into deep rapport with somebody. Now, let's imagine that you did go into deep rapport. Imagine that you did, and you just have a really resistant girl, right? And she's like, you went into deep rapport. Everything was great. You had that connection. You know, she feels really close to you. There are two things you want to think of here. One is that there's an option for you to not sleep with her. That's completely comfortable. It's okay if you don't sleep with her. You know, you can go, we'll just do this later on. And that's usually what I would do. Is I go, look, we have plenty of time to have sex. I don't need to rush it right now. Let's just hang out, you know, can back off and just hang out and have a good time. That's it. You know, I would highly suggest that option. Most guys are really in a big hurry to get laid the first night they meet a girl. And I think it's because most guys think that that's really hard to do. And it's kind of like a, you know, a new level of game for them. And, you know, I understand that totally. It's like, I've been there, but guys who are really good do not care about that. They don't need to get laid in the first night. It's not something that has to happen, you know? So instead of needing to get laid on the first night, what would be probably best would be to wait. But if you are like, okay, I've waited, or you don't want to, and she's going to go away or whatever it is, like, you know, you've got these different things in your head, or just you just really want to have sex, whatever it is, like you think you can go through with this, then you have a question you need to ask yourself. And that question is, to plow or not to plow? That is the question. So the question is, do you plow through resistance or do you not plow through resistance? Now, let me explain what plowing means. As you, it's not forcing, by the way, at all. Not in any kind of way whatsoever. It's asserting male dominant sexual energy in a way that she will want to be feminine and submissive around and sexual around. And if you do this, it's a series of really interesting techniques that lead to her following you, and then you try again, right? So as soon as she starts following you and what's called mirroring you, then you have a dominant role in the interaction, and then you can push forward and decide whether or not you actually want to sleep with her. But in order to get past some resistance, and some women will have resistance that's not even real. It's just kind of like, oh no, I don't know you, I better not. And it's more like I better not, and less like I can't, or I don't want to, or stop, right? Now, knowing the difference between that, between stop and, is huge, right? If her body language says no, and her words say no, then that means no, always, 100% of the time, always means no. If her body language says yes, meaning she's like turning towards you, like leaning on you, and her words say no, that means maybe. It never means yes, ever. It means maybe. That's all it means. You never get a yes until you get a yes out of her. If she's saying no as you're starting to seduce her, as you are making out with her, as you're touching her, then you are crossing the line. Because later on, you know what she can say? I said no, and he kept going. And she might say that. You have no idea, because you don't know this girl, especially if you just met her. It's always best to step back. And if you hear a no, when I heard no, sometimes if I knew it wasn't real, I'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go too far, you know, and I'll totally back off and pretend like I think that I just crossed the line, and then she's like, oh no, just slow down, you know, that's like I just want her to say something besides no or stop, you know, if she wants me to keep going. So that's very, very important. It's when in doubt, don't push forward. That's really important. So if the question is to plow or not to plow, the answer is always not to plow. Because if you have that question in your head, you shouldn't be pushing forward. But if you're 100% certain, and you're going to have to, you know, use your own discretion and your own judgment, and you know, you're taking all the risk here when you do this. If you know for sure that her resistance is just temporary, then I would do a series of what are called compliance tests. I'm sure you guys have heard of these. You've heard about them because I taught how to pass them, but I've never really taught how to give them. And compliance tests are a way to control somebody and get them in a leading position so that whenever you make a move, they are following you instead of deciding deciding where you should go. You're the one sort of deciding where to go. And the way to do that is to physically get them to go to somewhere else, like get them to stand up, twirl them around, and then send them back down again and try it again, right? So like stand them up, twirl them around like a ballerina, sit them down, and then start making out again, right? That, or ask them to move to different places in the room, or say, wait here, I'll be right back, or say, go in the kitchen and get me something to drink, you know? Like, I wouldn't say that. It's kind of like a listen, woman, you know, go in the kitchen and get me something to drink. It's too house, like angry house, like husband to housewife kind of conversation. But as long as you can get her to start doing things for you or doing things that you say, then you can push forward through seduction and typically she'll be comfortable with it. If she was going to be comfortable with it at all, then she'll be comfortable. If not, and you try it once and it doesn't work, I would honestly stop and I would be patient and I would just be like, look, you know, either it happens or it doesn't, but who cares, right? I would take all the pressure off of the sex. In fact, in the beginning of seduction, one thing I would say that was kind of like a, you know, it was kind of like a secret that I used to do just by myself. I had never taught anyone ever to do this, so it's kind of cool to be able to teach you guys, is that I'd say the same sentence every time before I started seducing her. And that is, look, you know we're not going to have sex tonight, right? And that was a very, very important thing to say. You know we're not going to have sex tonight. That's what I said. You know we're not going to have sex tonight. So I'm going to type this out so I can send it to you guys. I'm going to have sex tonight, right? ? Another way of saying that is, look, I like you, but I just can't have sex with you tonight. Just want to let you know that ahead of time. And she'd be like, oh, no, that's perfectly fine. No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's cool. Yeah. Let her say all those things. Be like, oh, no, we're not going to. You'd be like, okay, cool. And then seduce her. And then have sex with her if you want to. If she wants to, obviously. But what that does is it takes away her number one objection. You've taken that away. Look, you know we're not going to have sex tonight, right? You get her to say, oh, no, that's cool. It's cool. It's cool. You reverse roles whenever you do that. So now she's sort of the pursuer and you're the person being pursued sexually. Now, whenever you flip that around and you start being sort of the man, the aggressor, you know, when I say aggressor, I don't mean that in an attacking sort of way, obviously. I mean just physically, not sexually, not physically, but sexually aggressive, sort of like a caveman here, then she will completely be comfortable with it most likely. And usually I'd say that ahead of time, seed it, and later on when we got to sort of sexuality, we got sort of escalating and it got hot, it wouldn't stop things later. So really, really powerful thing to say. It's doing what's called flipping the script. Flipping the script is whenever you say something or do something that the girl typically does in objection, but you do it before she does, and you do it to her. Like, for example, saying to a girl, is that a pickup line? Are you trying to pick me up? That's something that a girl might say to you. So if you say it to her, you do what's called flipping the script, and the girl then feels like she's being filtered out instead of filtering you out. The person doing the filtering in any interaction is always the person in control. So if you can make it seem like you're doing the filtering, then you'll be the person in control. So that's really important. So when it comes to plowing through, sort of pushing through resistance, if you have any question whatsoever, don't do it. But if you do know for sure 100%, get up, do some compliance moves with her, and then a bit more physical escalation, like pulling on the hair, stuff like that, kissing on her neck, a little more foreplay, and then see if she's interested after that. If she's not, I wouldn't keep going, because if she says no once and then you try again, she says no again, I would wait forever. I'd just wait until like the next time. Don't even worry about that night, you know. And the more you try to push for it, the less likely it is she's going to try to hang out with you again. Because when she gets logical, she's going to remember all the stuff that you did, and when she tried to get you to stop and you wouldn't, you know, until like the whole night you were trying to keep, you tried to continue and tried to continue, she's not going to want to hang out with you again because it's going to be awkward and weird because you're assuming that she's going to have sex with you. And it's too much pressure for a girl. So that's really important. And that sort of is the end of, that's the end of it. So that's the end of my first call for seduction. If you guys had any questions at all, then you should email them to Brad, but I'm not going to be able to get to them now. So we'll have to wait till the next call. Brad, do you know when the next call is?
next week?
It is. It's the last call before our live event in Vegas. So
hey, all right.
We have the Attraction in Action event in Vegas on starting on Friday for people who got in on the Mastermind early. And it's at the Palms. It's really exciting. We did offer a scholarship, and we're still taking applications for that. I think we are. Brad, do you have application? Oh, you guys get in for free, so you don't need to worry about that. What am I thinking? Founding members get into that for free. It's a $1,000 event, and you guys get into it for free. So if you do want to go to it, it's going to be called called Attraction in Action. There is it's all about approach, how to approach women. It's all about the early stages of attraction and how to get our attention, how to open up groups of women to talk to them, and open up women individually as well to talk to them as well. So we're going to be sort of handling a lot of the questions about attraction, a lot of the questions about how to approach a girl, and I'll be doing as many drills and demonstrations as I possibly can for you guys. That's a really, really valuable thing. If you're waiting to the last second to sign up for that, right now, immediately, because you're founding members, you can get in for free. All you have to do is put down a $100 deposit so that we know to save your seat. So if you want to do that and you want to get to Vegas next week and meet me in person and learn from me directly and hang out with us as well while we're there, then go ahead and email Brad at thedowofbadass.com right now and just say, I'm interested in Vegas. He'll get back to you. He'll get on the phone. He'll tell you some details about it. And if you're still interested after you get on the phone and you know details about it, then you can sign up for it. You can go ahead and hop on board. Brad has got a lot of details. He'll tell you everything you need to know about it, where it's going to be, what time, what we'll be covering, stuff like that. So check that out. If you haven't signed up for that, sign up for it right now, immediately, because this is our first ever live Dow of Badass event. We've never had one before, and we're going to be having these things at least annually, and you're going to be a part of the very first one. You guys will be on the ground level of this whole process. So if you do want to do that, that's sort of what being a founding member is. Being a founding member is being the first one there to take part in these things on the founding level. So I really suggest that you show up, and it will be really, I would like to make it mandatory, but I can't really do that. A lot of guys have other, obligations, I understand. It's a week, basically a week from tomorrow that it starts, and we can help you out with arrangements for sleeping and stuff as well, and we have good deals on hotel rooms that are really baller and look really nice. So you can also stay in another hotel that's not the one that we're doing the event in, and just show up and to the event whenever you want to learn. So keep that in mind too. I will see you guys on that call. Same time, 6 o'clock, of course, and then not a different number though, different channel. So it'll be next Thursday on the 13th at 6 p.m. and that'll be the last call before we go into the founding members call, a founding members event, Attraction in Action event. So thank you guys so much for hanging out on this call. Thanks, Brad, for being here as well.
Oh yeah,
and
I'm excited to see everybody in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I can't wait, man. We got a lot of really awesome guys there. A lot of founding members are showing up. It's going to be great for people to meet each other and for me to meet them and put some faces with the voices that I keep hearing, voices in my head, and the emails and the people that I'm seeing on the members area sort of asking questions. So really, really exciting. So all right. Thank you guys very much. I look forward to talking with you on the next call. Till then, take care and be a badass.